team. Thank you guys so much for joining for our podcast. We've been excited about this one. We have been here and we are talking about Muga. So thank y'all for spending your day with us for this amount of time anyway. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump right on in. We've got a lot to cover. And this is really cool. I mean, Ben, this is some cool stuff that's happening behind behind the lab and with the team. So let's go ahead and dive right on in. Ben, sure. Kind of walk us through, what is Muga and what is the history of this product line?
Yeah, sure. So Muga has a pretty interesting history here with GeneSeq and then into Neogen. So first of all, Muga stands for Mouse Universal Genotyping Array. There is also a red wine named Muga. I can't confirm nor deny that the two are related, but it wouldn't surprise me if that came into play when naming our arrays. But it really started with one of the co-founders of GeneSeq, Dr. Daniel Pomp. Dr. Daniel Pomp utilized mice in his research. He studied metabolism at the University of North Carolina at their medical school. And with his partners there at UNC and others, he recognized that there was a need for genotyping and genomics and things of that nature in the mouse community. And so having founded GeneSeq and understanding of our business, he recognized like, hey, we could build some products here. And so starting in about 2010, they built the first Muga array in partnership with UNC. We've gone through several versions of Muga, from Muga to Mega Muga to Giga Muga. You can kind of see the progression of our naming there. And today, Giga Muga is about 140,000 markers. It's a unique array. We can probably get into how it relates to some of our other products a little bit later. But then we also, about 2019-ish, 2018, kind of did a turn as well and started Mini Muga, which is a smaller array and used a little bit differently in the community. So the history is a little bit different. I guess I took over the product line in about 2015 from Jeremy Walker. He had done a great job with the first 5 years kind of getting that established. And I've managed it for about the last 10 years or so.
Wow. So a lot of advancement in a pretty short amount of time.
Yeah, I'd say so.
How cool. Well, kind of talk us through, what are some of the key partnerships in place for Muga? What does that look like?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, I think I'd have to start first and foremost with the University of North Carolina. They have helped design and advocate and support all of our Muga products. They have been involved in the SNP selection, the positioning, presenting, publications, things of that nature. They have been a huge advocate and in the first and main partner for Muga. Secondly, would be a group called MMRRC, which is the Mutant Mouse Research and Resource Center. They are a group of universities. There's five: UNC, University of Michigan, Missouri, UC Davis, and then Jackson Lab, that kind of help govern and do a lot of kind of advocacy for mouse research and model organisms. So that would be a second. And then a third is Transnetics. Many of you have probably heard me talk about Transnetics. They are a genotyping company out of Memphis. They also process millions of samples just like we do. They do it a little bit differently. It's all PCR reaction based. But they approached us at a meeting in 2019, honestly, and said, hey, we'd be really interested in licensing this product. In getting to know them, not only are they knowledgeable and have a huge history in the community, but they have a sales team across the globe that can go out and promote this. I was an N of one trying to sell these products. I don't have a background in mouse genomics by any means, whereas they have a team of people out there. So from 2020 onward, we've partnered with them specifically for Mini Muga. And we are responsible for the lab and pipeline development and processing. They go out and do all the sales and customer support and whatnot, and have really helped the Mini Muga product specifically grow immensely over the last 6 or 7 years. So Transnetics would be another one I'd like to mention.
Very cool. I guess I would just imagine that the community has to be pretty tight-knit for something like this.
That is correct.
Oh, cool. Well, awesome. Thank you. Well, how has Minimuga impacted research progression overall?
Yeah, I think it's probably best to kind of first kind of label what Minimuga does. Minimuga is a genetic QC tool. It is used to determine the background, or you can think about it like breed composition in cattle, in mice, right? If in the mouse and model organism community, what they're trying to do is build a model organism that is, let's say, somewhere in the realm of 99 to 99.5% inbred, but with that diversity in the half to 1% in a very specific region of the genome, the area of interest that they are trying to study, okay? And so how it's helped progress is, how do you know that the animal is actually shows some variation in that space, and where is elsewhere in the genome, right? If you only want the variability in the small region, you want to make sure the rest of it is good, that there's no other genomics in play when you're looking at these studies. And so it's really been used for a genetic QC tool. How do you know that the mice you're using are what you think they are? And how do you know that they are carrying the traits that you are trying to study? So that's really where Minimuga has come into play. I would also say that probably one of the bigger advantages there is you don't waste time using animals that aren't forwarding or progressing your studies, right? So your money is being used more efficiently, your time is more efficient, those types of things, let alone making sure that your papers can be published and not recanted or anything of the sort, right? So not only is it quality and control, it is also an efficiency purpose that can be used, especially when, you know, research dollars are tight.
Very interesting. Is this, and just curious, so what is the level of awareness for something like this in this industry specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's growing. The level of awareness really comes down to, I mean, quite honestly, where kind of your research dollars are coming from, right? There are certain groups like NIH and others that are starting to require some form of genomic QC before publication, right? If it's coming from elsewhere, that may not be the case. Some journals are starting to require this. There's been some pretty recent advocacy in that department, which I'm sure we'll get to, but I'd say it's growing. It really started with kind of the breeders and the people who are kind of, you think about almost like the hierarchy, right? Where now you're starting to get out into individual labs that are starting to want to use some of this technology.
Okay. How interesting. Are you able to talk about any of the research specifically that this is advanced?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a little bit more, it's not so much advanced as much as some of the research that has used either Giga or Mini, and then how that Minimuga has then been able to confirm those lines for publication, right? When I go to these conferences, really there's two types of talks. There's ones that they say, like, here are some strategies on genomic pathways and breeding, things of that nature, which are probably pretty similar to what we see elsewhere in other species, other markets. I'd say the second, though, is kind of the downstream effect, right? There are a lot of talks about things like cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Down syndrome, right? Where a lot of these talks will have not only a mention of Minimuga, but very early on in their presentation, they'll say, hey, here's our the line of mice that we used. We confirmed them with this product, and here are our findings, right? So it's almost like a validation or a way for them in their presentations and in their talks to say, here's how we know what we were using and kind of the background, and then they go into their discovery work.
Wow, that is incredibly impactful.
It's different, right? I mean, instead of You know, when you know, we've all gone to many conferences, we're talking about efficiencies and production and things like that. And here you may talk about learning disabilities in Down syndrome, right? Or cancer spread or diabetes treatments and things like that. It's just a very different impact, I guess you will. And it is pretty fun to go and see a little different side of things.
So if I'm recalling this story right, I don't want to put you on the spot, but whenever
Sure.
I was in Lincoln last time, you were talking through being at a conference and there was a really wonderful shout out for you and Grenadian and the level of support. Do you mind kind of sharing that story? That felt really special to have been part of that moment.
So I was at the IMGC, which is the International Mammalian Genome Conference, this last spring. And one of the plenary sessions was given by Fernando at UNC. And it was directed towards kind of his journey across his career, right? And he started the presentation with a slide that had a lot of pictures of people he had met at this conference and in this community that has impacted his career and his research. And up there were the likes of, you know, Daniel Pomp and the director of NIH, Kent Hunter, and things like that. And at the end was a picture of me, which, like, Daniel and I should never be on the same slide together, right? Like, one of these is not like the other. And I was not aware of that. And I went, okay, that's interesting. And he went through his presentation, picture by picture, and the work that those groups had done and the partnerships. And when he got to a slide where he was talking about Muga, he said, I would like to stop for a second and recognize Neogen, GeneSeq, Ben, Jeremy, and actually TransNetics and Nate Nowak, who was there as well. And he said he wanted to call that out, that in 2010, when they were discussing building a Muga product line, they got quite a bit of pushback from other industry partners that said, well, you know, this is a very small community. There's just not a business here. You know, we're not interested in things like that. And he wanted to call us out and say, these are people who came to us and said, we're interested, we're willing to work with you and partner with you. And obviously, we have for the last 15, 16 years. But also, he mentioned that Nate and I were the only ones at the conference. There's about 200 people at this conference that are from industry and are there simply to support the community. We go every year. And he wanted to point out that, you know, we were there not just to bring products, and although of course we wanted to do that, but also just to be involved and supportive of that. And, you know, I know I left that talk, A, surprised, B, very proud, but also C, I went to lunch afterwards, you know, in the conference center, and I had quite a few people kind of come up and you know, introduce themselves that I hadn't met before, and just really interested in how all of this history and the products that we offer. So, yeah, it was a neat shout out. It was a bit unexpected, but it was fun nonetheless.
That is so cool. Thank you for resharing that story because
Yeah,
that's
my
very
pleasure.
impactful. Relationships are everything, and whenever you can bring solutions and tie that in, that's really special. So, congrats to you. Congrats to the team. That's very impactful.
Thank you.
So, kind of continuing down that line of thought, let's talk about some of the publications that Muga has been represented in. Do you mind kind of talking through research outcomes, publications, and features in industry?
No, happy to. Just real quick, and I know a lot of this has been about history, but just a real quick kind of a backstory. The first publication that really introduced mini Muga to the world was in the Journal of Genetics, which genetics is a fairly prominent journal, in 2020, that kind of said, here is a brand new QC tool. That publication was written by the group at UNC. We actually brought one of their graduate students to Lincoln for a summer internship to work through mini Muga and this publication. So it was really pretty fun to do. That was over the summer of 2019 and 20, I think it was 2019 or 2018, forgive me. But either way, that was the first publication for mini Muga. There was an update that we made to mini Muga in 2022. That article was published in G3, which stands for Genetics, Genes, and Genomes, where that publication was kind of up saying, here's the update we've made, what we've learned, and how we can make this better. And I think more prominently and I think pretty cool. But just last month in May, well, I guess it's July 1st now, but either way, in May 2026 was an article published in Science. So Science, one of the prominent journals. And that article was specifically written for the MMRRC and how they used Minimooga as a genomic QC tool and what their recommendation is to the community for all future mouse publications, research, and et cetera. Obviously, it's a recommendation that it isn't, required yet, certainly working on something like that, but having a journal or an article published in Science is a very big deal. They rightfully so are incredibly proud of it. But that is certainly one that we don't get very often, and very proud of that. And the fact that it is really outlining how one of the foremost groups monitoring this across the country have used this tool, right? It's pretty neat. I'm happy to share a copy with that with everybody if they're interested. It does get pretty heavy in the weeds, but nonetheless, pretty cool to be in Science.
That is so cool. Well, congrats to all. That's huge. Can't wait to read the full piece.
Oh yeah, thank you.
So if you don't mind, do share the link and then
Yep,
we'll make
we
sure
can do
that
that.
everyone gets a copy of that. That's awesome.
Sure.
Well, very cool. Well, we want to be respectful of everyone's time and Ben, we appreciate you sharing your morning with us. But maybe one more question. But how does Muga connect to Neogen's broader genomics portfolio, such as with GGP?
Sure, and I can try this pretty quickly. But really, if you think about our GGP products, they're about genomics, wide coverage of the genome in the research space used for maybe find mapping, gene discovery, things of that nature. That is what Giga Muga is ideal for. Okay, so you can think of Giga Muga and GGP designed and utilized very similarly. Whereas Minimooga, although it is a different array, the SNPs were selected very differently. And hence why it's a different array or different product, but it is essentially BreedSeq. We're all very familiar with things in cattle, right? BreedSeq looking for, is the animal, what backgrounds does it have? What is it, right? That is essentially what Minimooga is doing. In the article in Science, it is determined that roughly 30 to 40% of research mice have a background that is unknown or undetermined or a surprise to the individual, right? Whether that be a line that was introduced generations ago, recently, whatever that may be, they want to know that, right? How is that affecting the genes they're looking at, the treatments they're researching, things of that nature? What they're doing, though, is just like where we're at BreedSeq, is then what do you do about it, right? What is this information? And they're looking at it in a way of, okay, now that we know that, two things. One, how do we then look at the areas of the genome that were a bit unexpected as potential other targets, right? But also, B, how do we change our breeding methods to make sure these animals are what they think they are, right? What have we specialized at Neogen Genomics and GeneSeq for decades? Breeding and making sure you know what is going through your breeding pipeline into your next generation, right? And so they are looking at this as, yes, it is a concern that they have this level of, question or uncertainty, but also, wow, we can use this to really make some progress in this space in the coming generations, right? How can we make sure that this isn't an issue? Or if it is benefit, how can we encourage it? Whatever that is, right? It's just very interesting to hear some of the discussions around BreedSeq, and I have heard the exact same discussions around Minimooga for the last, 6 or 7 years or so. So very, very similar. Just used differently. In cattle, we're probably going for, different ideas, measures of heterosis, things like that. Where in mice, they're probably looking to how can we make it more inbred with only a small area of variability, or an area of interest, but nonetheless, very, very similar.
It is so interesting. And that just brings up even more questions for me. So I might have to keep you after this. But that is so cool. Really cool. Well, one last thing, and you kind of mentioned before we jumped on and pressed record, but you're kind of talking a little bit about the pressure that Muga is kind of starting to feel in the market. And it's a little similar to what we're seeing with GGP. Do you mind kind of talking through that a little bit? And what's that like? And are there any takeaways that our team should be considering for GGP?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, there are a lot of discussions about technology, how to utilize the data, what's the best method, how do I use my dollars most effectively, and some of the pressures that that brings on, right? I wouldn't say it's a whole lot different than what we're seeing in ag or in other markets, right? How do you Once you get the answers, how do you use that information? How do you build the tools to bring that forth, and make it an overall positive, right? You can't change the genetics, right? The animal is what it is. How do you then take this information and utilize it going forward, right? Research funds are at a premium. I'm sure that's similar in not just research, but in industry in general, across many markets. So really the pressure comes from how do we utilize these tools? How can we make this a positive? And how do we utilize this in a way that is unique and supportive of our customers, as well as, internal to our teams at Neogen and things of that nature. But yeah, it's interesting. You wouldn't think model organisms in mice and pigs and chickens and cattle would be similar. But honestly, they face the same challenges, and we have very similar tools to do that across all markets.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing all of this, sharing your time with us. This has been fantastic. And for our team that's been joining, thank you all for hopping on with us today. And I guess, Ben, is there anything else that you'd like to cover off on before we conclude this podcast?
No, I don't think so. I know Kenny and Anthony and others are always asking me to what's this mouse business? So I hope those guys took something from it. I hope everybody learned something new. And if anybody has any questions or just want to talk about this further, everybody knows how to get a hold of me. Please do. I'm more than happy to sit and talk.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and all these insights.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Have a great day, team.